Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. To close out 2018, we will be hitting you with some New Year's resolutions specifically for the Nets. If there was a alien explosion instead of just the Con Edison power plant explosion in Astoria, what superpowers would we want the Nets to have? And then getting into, finally, our much-awaited top five best and worst player coaches in the NBA. All that and more next on the Locked On Nets podcast.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's do this thing, guys. It's your host, Josh Bass, here, joined by the man that I'm going to meet for brunch in about 20 minutes once we hang up this podcast, Marcus Barahal. Marcus, besides getting to have brunch with me, which is a real treat for you, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little hungry. Woke up this morning. I had the slight grumble in my stomach. I think we're still waiting on a former co-host of this podcast, Gavin Shaw, to tell us where he's allowed to eat. Should be a good brunch, though. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so if anyone has any vegan friendly options, and you know, it's nice of us to be friendly to the vegans, because they don't have a lot in life.
At the same time, though, we need a place that's extremely cheap.
Yeah, you only want somewhere. It's kind of a bad habit. You can't like brunch and then also be extremely cheap and also be vegan. Those three things, there's no overlap of any of those items, really. So we'll report back on how that goes, and if we find Gavin a place where he is allowed to eat. Anyway, Marcus, we have important business to attend to today. Just to set up the show, I am Josh Bass, joined by Marcus Barahal. Locked On Nets is your daily, we'll call it every other day, Nets-centric podcast, giving you all the latest news on the Brooklyn Nets, our upstart little franchise that had their great spurt, 9 of 10 in a row, lost two games recently to the Charlotte Hornets, Milwaukee Bucks, and we have a couple days before the next game against the Pelicans, so figured we'd get into some fun stuff. So Marcus, set us up with what we're going to do today.
Sure, Josh. Well, as listeners may know or not know, we are coming upon a new year, 2019. We'll be entering the fold for all of us. I'm excited for what this year brings. Should be a great year. But with that said, a lot of times at the new year, people make New Year's resolutions. So we thought we'd do that for your Brooklyn Nets. We're also going to talk some superpowers, some player coaches, you know, the works here. We're just treating you guys, the listeners, to a smorgasbord of great episodes, great content. So let's get into it, Josh.
Yeah, and just want to clarify one thing. We are on the solar calendar. So this is the solar calendar New Year. You know, we're not doing a New Year's resolution for the lunar calendar, for the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, which happened a couple months ago. Maybe in 2019, in September, we'll have our New Year's resolutions to coincide with getting towards the start of the season. So this is going to be the solar New Year for this one. Just want to clarify that in case anyone follows a different calendar and might be a bit confused. So Marcus, I'll let you get started. What is your New Year's resolution for the Brooklyn Nets?
Sure. I've got two. One of them is that I would like for them to make a trade to free up some minutes. I know they've got some injuries right now, so the minutes have kind of been dispersed like fairly in an okay way. But once Crabbe comes back, once Rondé's healthy, I still want guys like Kurucs and Napier to be playing a little bit more than they have been earlier in the season. So I would like a trade to be made to free up time for them.
Okay, gotcha. And maybe a little even Jean and Musa action when he returns to health and once his shoulder gets back in form. Do you see it's more likely that Napier gets traded at the deadline or that he's going to be a big part of the team in the second half of the season? Because he's on a super cheap contract. It's 2 years, $6 million. I believe next year is it's non-guaranteed or it might be team option. But anyway, it's very team friendly. A team could take him on. And then let's say they don't feel like they need him for next year, they can release him and not have any dead money on their books. But he's someone, in my opinion, especially against that game against the Bucks, a really long and athletic team, he showed that he can break down the defense, score, and really create some highlight plays and add an element of excitement and have that dynamic scoring element to a team that could use some punch, maybe if there's someone like the Orlando Magic, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I think that he is probably going to stay with the Nets, at least for this year. I think that they've had, last season we saw it, they needed that extra depth of point guard because a guy like D'Angelo Russell might get hurt. If Dinwiddie gets nicked up, I think it's helpful to have an extra guy to turn to kind of steer the ship, especially if the Nets intend to make the playoffs, which is also a New Year's resolution I have for them. They're going to want to be competitive, especially if they get injured. They want to kind of keep the ship afloat until guys come back. And I think Napier is definitely capable of doing that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'd love to see them make the playoffs. So I'm going to get into my resolution now, Marcus. I loved yours, especially.
Thank you, Josh.
More minutes for Kurucs. You know, who can argue with that, right?
Rhodey, you know, he's a great kid.
Yeah. I wonder if Rhodey eats at fast casual place Roti. Maybe there could be some synergy there.
Yeah, I could see him being like a lamb guy.
Yeah, I could see him doing the lamb, or maybe he splurges for the salmon. He's on that NBA money. But for me, I have two New Year's resolutions. One is a bit selfishly. So for the last 5 or 6 years, Barclays Center, you know, it's fine. It's not MSG, but it does have some flair to it, and they try to make it like a club where the lights are all black and you can't see anything except the court. But the security system and getting inside still takes forever, especially when it's a big-time team coming to town. I remember I saw the Nets play last year when the Cavs and LeBron James came in, and it just takes forever to have the security lines, and it's kind of like a blob where everyone's funneled to the outside, and the whole center square is no one's in there. So I want a more efficient security process and entrance process for the Brooklyn Nets games. You know, we need a spur attendance somehow, and by having this complicated method, that's not going to do it. So, you know what, let's streamline this. Who can we talk to get this implemented?
I totally agree, Josh. I mean, the couple of Nets games that I've been to, it's just like a big blob between the subway station and the entrance to the game. They have like all those security checkpoints, or not checkpoints, but like the metal detectors, and it feels like there's like 10 of them, and only 3 are ever in use, and everyone just kind of gets pushed in a blob, and like you said, and it's just it's cutting in front of people. People are getting pissed off. It's not a good environment to enter such a beautiful arena like the Barclays
exactly,
Center.
Exactly. And it gets also the will calls in a weird place. So sometimes I remember when me and you got tickets once, you like, we don't know if we should get the tickets now or later. Needs to be a bit more streamlined. That's what I'm running on in 2020. Vote for Bass. And then also my second resolution, I want the Nets to be covered a bit more in the media. I feel like we don't get enough attention. Every fucking podcast I listen to is Lakers, Warriors, a little bit of Thunder, Raptors.
Sixers, Celtics.
Yeah, Sixers, Celtics. I feel like those like 6 or 7 teams are just it. And then maybe sometimes you get like a Jazz segment or they throw a bone to the Nuggets, but nothing on the Nets. I mean, people talk about, Spencer Dinwiddie, nice little story. But I want more Rhodey Kurucs love. I want more Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson talk. The Nets need to become a national story. I feel like it's gone past the point where we're just a laughing stock from the Billy King trade, and now no one talks about us, but I want to be talked about. Whether it's in a good way or a bad way, any publicity is good publicity, in my opinion. And the Nets are doing some great things, so I want more people to know about it, and I want more people to listen to this podcast. Yeah, so let's get some more coverage.
Yeah, I feel like a guy like Joe Harris should be more talked about. Kurucs, like you said, especially being a second rounder, that's insane. I mean, the Nets definitely have guys. I think Jared Allen has gotten a little bit of buzz lately because of all the big highlight blocks, but I think that's part of it too, is that the Nets don't necessarily have a ton of highlight plays outside of Jared Allen. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
For me, a highlight is when Joe Harris perfectly runs around a screen and is able to set himself in midair. That's a highlight. The guy is shooting 48% on threes. How are people not all over this?
Josh, you know, maybe it's up to us to kind of steer the ship and be leaders in this industry.
Absolutely. We are pioneers. So that's good. We're going to wrap it up for segment one. Those are our New Year's resolutions for 2019 for the Brooklyn Nets. We'll check back in mid-year and maybe see how we've done on them. You know, maybe we'll go really hard for the first week in January to make sure these are accomplished and then forget about them the rest of the year. That's probably more likely. But you know, who knows? We might surprise you guys and really get this done. What if we're able to single-handedly spearhead the Nets' prominence in the national media. That would be pretty cool.
That'd be great, yeah. And if we can reform Barclays Center, that'd be pretty cool too.
And that's going to do it for segment one. And coming up, we will talk to you all about a crazy thing that happened in not Brooklyn, but another New York borough the other day and how it relates to the Nets. Segment two here on Locked On Nets, Josh Bass, joined by my man, Marcus Barahal. And Marcus, something crazy happened in Astoria, a little area of Queens the other day, which is on the come up recently. Great Greek food there. Little tip if anyone has not checked out Astoria. But there was a blue explosion in the sky. Marcus, tell us a little bit more about what happened.
Yeah, so there was apparently a transformer explosion at a power plant in Queens, in Astoria, as you mentioned. Also, going to second it, a great neighborhood. Shout out to Steinway Street. It was at the Con Ed power plant in Queens, and it led to a big blue light lighting up in the sky in New York. It was kind of different shades. There was a nice, beautiful, I don't know, maybe I'd call it aqua or teal.
Yeah, it was crisp. Crisp,
yeah, it was
aqua.
Very crisp. A brief electrical fire, technically, but you couldn't really tell. And a lot of people thought it was aliens, perhaps, finally coming down to take over and put us out of our misery. But no, it was just a power outage. But Josh, we wanted to talk about if it had been aliens, and this had been a Peter Parker, Spider-Man situation. You know, every child out there wants to be bitten by a spider so that they can get revenge on their school bully and kiss a girl. What kind of superpowers would we want for the Brooklyn Nets?
Absolutely. And I'm not buying this whole Con Ed thing. You know, I think it has some, there are definitely some foreign objects at play here. I think it was either Russia or the aliens, one of those two.
Just to clarify that, Bill de Blasio's spokesman, Eric Phillips, he tweeted out, quote, "not aliens" in his update. So just to address you. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, I feel like de Blasio and his administration is just so wrong about everything that it probably means it is aliens. But okay, we'll go with what Eric Phillips is telling us. But for my superpowers, so I saw Incredibles 2 recently and loved it. Great, great follow-up to Incredibles 1. And I am going with two people from Incredibles, and I want to translate their superpowers and gift them to players on the Brooklyn Nets. So Dash, a.k.a. the son of Incredibles 2, great character, needs to have his plot fleshed out a little more in the next movies, but still really good character development. One of my favorites, very entertaining. He is going to be gifting his super speed to D'Angelo Russell. And with that super speed, imagine like a John Wall in his prime type speed, Russell Westbrook, De'Aaron Fox level. D'Angelo Russell will now be not only an all-star level player, I think he could be an all-NBA type player if he had that upper echelon speed like a Dash does.
Yeah, we've talked about how late in games Russell is maybe hesitant to drive in because he doesn't have quite the burst or whatever. And I think that that little bit of speed could push him over the top. And it would probably help him on the defensive end also, where he could be a little more aggressive and confident that he could get back if he made a mistake.
Absolutely. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell Sean Marks to lock him up to an extension below market before the super speed's gifted, so the Nets could save some money there. And then also, Mr. Incredible, his super strength is going to be gifted to our man, Jarrett Allen. Allen, already one of the top shot blockers in the NBA, has had some highlight blocks and dunks this year. In a great second year for him. He's only 20 years old, turns 21 in April, averaging 11.6 points on 58% shooting from the field, 8 rebounds a game, 1.5 blocks a game. Really good player that I think is going to develop really well. But we all know the guy needs to put on some more weight and some more strength. He has a tendency to get bullied around by some of the really bruiser centers in the league. Think about an Enes Kanter, a Joel Embiid type. And having that super strength of Mr. Incredible, I think Jarrett Allen could be a top five center in the league, really hone his ability on the defensive end, and then offensively, the strength to finish more plays and plays where he's getting fouled and not finishing now become and ones with that super strength. Marcus, am I onto something here?
I think so. I think that, Jarrett Allen's biggest weakness defensively is just that he can get pushed around by bigger guys like we've seen from Enes Kanter, Nikola Vucevic types. So I think that strength would definitely be the final piece to his defensive capabilities, and like you said, it would add to his offensive game.
Yep, glad you agree with that. Marcus, what do you got for us?
All right, I'll also give two. I'll give them quick. For Caris LeVert, I would want super health. I don't know if I need to put super in front of that, but just health. He's definitely the Nets' most promising player pre-injury, and I think he still is. The reason he fell in the draft was just because of health concerns. I think if he had not had, I think it was a foot issue at Michigan, he would have been drafted a lot higher. And I just want him to come back healthy, and I want him to stay healthy for his career. That would be nice to see. And then my other one is for Jared Dudley, you know, podcast favorite here at Locked On Nets. For him, I just want one thing. It's immortality. I want him in my life forever. I want him on the Nets forever. I want him podcasting on the side. I want him doing whatever it takes to stay on the court as long as he can.
Yep, love both of those. JD, if you ever want to come on, you're more than welcome. And relating those to my Incredibles theme, Jared Dudley is going to be a Lucius Best type, Mr. Freeze, so he can freeze time and stay immortal. And then Caris LeVert is going to be Elastigirl, Mrs. Incredible. So then that gruesome leg injury that he suffered, it would just kind of heal back to normal. So I feel like we're developing a nice roster of Incredibles here, and great movie. So
I think this is the third movie, yeah.
Yeah, this could be. The plot, the Brooklyn Nets combined with the Incredibles. Who is it? Who does it? Pixar?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Pixar, get on that cross promotion. What are you doing?
Yeah, we're bounce that little lamp over to us, you know?
Exactly. So that's going to do it here for this this wacky segment. If you guys are sticking through this, appreciate it and hope you liked having some fun with us. Coming up, we will discuss our top five best and worst theoretical player coaches in the NBA. Stay tuned. Much awaited, our best and worst player coaches. Marcus, I forget how this idea was spawned. I'm really trying to... I think I said that I wanted to see more player coaches in the league, or what happened?
I believe it was part of our short-lived segment, Quick Two, where one of your questions was about how the Nets would do with co-coaches, like Kenny Atkinson and one other coach, and then we said, what if it was a player coach, and it kind of led us down that rabbit hole.
We're going to bring back Quick Two, by the way. I'm still working on it. It's a long two this time, but we're going to get there. So let's start with our top five best player coaches. Marcus, why don't you give your five, starting with five and then heading down to one.
Okay. Number five, Jared Dudley. Number four, I'm just going to read all of them and then we can...
Yeah, okay.
Number five, Jared Dudley. Number four, Damian Lillard. Number three, Mike Conley. Number two, Taj Gibson. And number one, player coaches, Tyson Chandler.
Okay. I'm going to riff on your list a little
bit. Sure.
Jared Dudley, I love. I think his energy would be great. And I feel like when he does his three-point celebration, if he was the coach, he'd do it for everyone on the sidelines. As soon as like any player hit a three, he'd just be running back and forth along the baseline with his hand on the ground. Damian Lillard, I like that. I know in your notes you said that he can rap for players at halftime, kind of reinventing the Brian Shaw thing when he was rapping for the Nuggets guys. And I feel like that worked out so well.
It was
so
great.
Yeah, I feel like I really want to be able to hear Brian Shaw's rap because that was one of the most underappreciated moments in NBA Twitter history, I feel like, when that happened.
I think maybe it could be put out like in a few years, like the LeBron Kevin Durant rap from like 2011, I think, that came out last year or so.
We need to have like an old vet on that team who's going to be able to like, he'll be out of the league and he'll tell the story of what really went down. Mike Conley, I like that you might have his boy Mark Titus on the bench as an assistant coach. That would be great. And Titus could really get the 12th man and the two-way guys riled up and ready to go. And
Tate Frazier kind of giving them some bits.
Yeah, exactly. And then Taj Gibson and Tyson Chandler. Taj, I like that he's a Brooklyn guy. Tyson Chandler, a weird pick for number one. I don't know.
Yeah, I would probably move Jared Dudley up if I redid this list. Just since the time I've made it, I've been more and more impressed by him. His ability to call timeout is great. But with Tyson, just from watching him up close with the Knicks and then seeing him with the Lakers now, he's just kind of able to, at least defensively, I think he would probably need an offensive-minded assistant coach. I think defensively he'd be able to communicate very clearly what he needs from his players, and I think he'd be able to kind of anchor the defense. Even in his later age, like we've seen, the Lakers have gotten so much better just having him instead of JaVale McGee as the back line of their defense. So I think it would definitely be more of like a specialized coach. Like he'd probably...
It's like not, a Rex Ryan type.
Yeah, he'd be a Rex Ryan type. He'd get a tattoo of a Lonzo Ball, or his wife in a Lonzo Ball jersey on his shoulder. But Josh, what's your list here? Let's hear what you got.
Yeah, so it's amazing. I love the Tyson Chandler getting the Lonzo Ball tattoo. So number five, former Net, our boy Jeremy Lin. He can motivate players through injury, read inspirational quotes, motivate the end of the bench guys and say, you're going to get your turn. And also really kind of build support with his crazy haircuts.
Yeah, I was gonna, sorry, I was just to cut in, I was going to say he could also be the team barber, and I think it would be great.
Ooh, that would be good. I like that. Four would be Enes Kanter. He's extremely loyal. He's going to get people fired up. And I could see him having his, like, David Fizdale take that for data moment. So I'm really in on Kanter as a player coach.
For sure. I could see him just lashing out at both the opposition and his own team at times.
Could he be the offensive coordinator to Tyson Chandler's defensive coordinator?
Wow. They could be co-coaches, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be something. I like that. And then Enes Kanter would just like be screaming at KD and taunting him the whole game. And it's like, you're the coach. Like, you can't do that.
He'd be just like headbutting Giannis, and it'd be great.
What a guy. Three, Jamal Crawford. He's like the wily veteran. I can just see him inserting himself in the practice and like digging in on defense. And I don't know, just something about him as a calming presence. So I feel like he'd be just like a great coach to have with the young guys and be able to coach them up. He's basically doing that right now on Phoenix, even though Coach Igor is technically the man in charge.
Yeah, I completely forgot that Jamal Crawford was on Phoenix. And I believe he's been on 8 teams at this point. So I think also as a coach, he'd kind of have some experience with all the different cities on the road. You know, he's seen a lot of places. Clippers, Knicks, Bulls, Hawks, Wolves, Blazers, Warriors, Suns.
What team is Jamal Crawford most known for? I feel like it's the Clippers at this point.
Probably, yeah. I mean, pre-Clippers, I would have said Knicks, but I think the Clippers are more recent. He spent 5 years with each of them. Those are his two most been-on teams. I don't know what the verb is there.
Gotcha. Yeah. I feel like him and Al Harrington, for whatever reason, they just don't have a team. They're nomads.
Yeah, Al Harrington, I think I associate with the Nuggets, even though he was also on the Knicks, and I think the Clippers,
too. It's like Pacers for him, almost, yeah.
Is he on the Magic, too, I think?
He might have been. He's been on every team, Al Harrington. Great guy. I miss him.
Yeah, I miss his wrinkly head. Sorry, go on.
Two on my list. J.J. Redick. He's a podcaster, like us. He can relate to people. We have to look out for our boy, fellow Brooklynite and podcaster J.J. Redick. He'll be great at building rapport with people. He knows how to let them down easy. If they're getting traded, he can just pretend it's like a talk show. And I just see him, he'll be great for in-game interviews, and he's just a really nice, likable guy, and has a great tattoo sleeve.
Yeah, and I think he's learned from guys like Coach K, Doc Rivers, others, I think Stan Van
Scott
Gundy. Scott Skiles, of course. Brett Brown.
Absolutely.
So he's got a lot of experience, and I think he'd be a great choice also.
Yep, big JJ guy. And number one, Klay Thompson. I see him almost as the new age Phil Jackson, Zen Master 2.0. The guy's going to win 6 rings.
Also, speaking of Klay Thompson, did you see in the Warriors' most recent game after Klay hit like a 3 to kind of break out of his slump, he like looked down at his own hand as he was walking to the bench and said, I missed you, to his hand. And there was no one else really around. It was just for him.
How great is this guy?
That's my coach.
That's our coach, Coach Klay. Not to be confused with Coach K.
No.
So, Marcus, now we'll get into the top 5 worst player coaches. I'll get us started with our list. Number 5, Jimmy Butler. I think it's pretty apparent why this was chosen. He forced his way out of Minnesota. Not someone that's going to be able to nurture young players at all. I see him almost as like a Lionel Hollins type, just like super mad at everyone. And also, funny tidbit about Lionel Hollins, I read the Ed Davis piece in CBS Sports that James James A. Baer wrote, and it was a great piece, and really Ed Davis seems like an amazing guy, someone who, if I had a sixth spot on my top five best coaches list, would be there. But I love when Ed Davis wrote, yeah, everyone knows I hate Lionel Collins, that's not a secret. And it was like, Ed, I just love you even more, man, because I also do not like Lionel Hollins.
Yeah, they were talking about that, I think, on the broadcast of, I think it was the Bucks game, where they were saying how Coach Kenny has, like, really done a lot for spacing in the offense and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, and you compare that with a coach like Lionel Hollins, and I was, like, a little bit taken aback. I didn't expect them to just go at him like that right away, but he is not liked.
Yeah, well, Lionel Hollins also would bench Brook Lopez in favor of Mason Plumlee. Just, I don't even know why. Lionel Hollins is obsessed with toughness, and like, I hope he never gets another job. And also, I mean, he's on NBA TV right now, and he seems like he's having a swell life, and him and his mangled fingers are hanging out. But yeah, I'm sure he's a nice guy and a good man, but just not someone that I want to coach my basketball team. And that's what I see Jimmy Butler doing. Number four, KD, great player, Hall of Famer, probably top 15, 20 guy when it's all said and done. But he's going to subtweet his players. He's going to get angry at the media. He's going to call out blog boys like me and you, Marcus. We can't have that happening.
We don't want that. That's the worst nightmare for you and me.
Yeah, we don't want to be called out. Number three, John Wall. he's just mad at everyone. He doesn't get along. He's had fights with Bradley Beal. Him and Gortat would always get into it when Gortat was a Wizard, which I always thought was weird because I thought they had a great pick and roll chemistry. But for whatever reason, no one really likes John Wall.
Yeah, just on Gortat, I remember when I was working at the NBA, I logged Wizards practice once, and it was just like everyone's mic'd, and you're not supposed to, like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but there was one clip where it was like Kelly Oubre talking to John Wall about Marcin Gortat, and he was like, "Oh, like, Marcin wouldn't even be in the league if it wasn't for you." And John Wall's like, yeah, haha, laughing. So that's not what you want from a coach, you know. You don't want a denigration of your own players. John Wall also, I think the Wizards could be going on a little run here with Satoransky taking over for Wall post-injury. Maybe some Ewing theory. We'll see.
Really? I don't know. I do like Satoransky, though. Every time I feel like every time we play the Wizards, I say on the podcast after that, we need to get Satoransky on the Nets. Because he does know how to play. But, you know, John Wall's still John Wall. And he can have big games like he did against the Lakers, I guess a couple weeks ago, where he went off and they beat the Lakers with LeBron. But, yeah, John Wall, great player, overpaid, not someone who I want as my head coach. Number two, Dwight Howard. This one is a lot self-explanatory. Yeah, the main thing here is that his all-candy diet, I feel like it's not going to be good for conditioning. You know, Dwight Howard looks like a Greek god, even though he eats that much candy, but I don't think everyone's going to have his metabolism. So imagine, like, he gets a guy like Zion or Nikola Jokic in the program. He's going to tell them to eat all this candy, and they're going to just balloon up. That can't happen. So Dwight Howard, don't want him as the coach of my basketball team.
Yeah, you also can't have all those snakes loose in the locker room. I think that would probably be a little bit scary for some of the players, a little bit dangerous. So don't want that.
Yeah, absolutely. And number one, Jahlil Okafor. Just don't want the guy as a coach. I don't know.
Former net great, Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, former net great, cousin of Emeka. Emeka's someone I'd want as my coach, so a little yin and yang there. But Jahlil, not feeling it. Sorry, buddy. Marcus, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to run through my top five again. You can comment after, but I'm going to get through the names. Here we go. Number five, I had the same as you. I also had Jimmy Butler. Number four, DeAndre Ayton. Number three, Ben McLemore. Number two, J.R. Smith. And number one, Hassan Whiteside. Josh, what do you think?
So we talked through Jimmy Butler. I feel like DeAndre Ayton, you know, he's getting a bad rap because he's putting up good stats. I mean, his defense isn't where it should be at all, but I kind of feel like DeAndre Ayton's getting mischaracterized in the media. He's only a rookie.
That's possible. The reason I have him on the list is just because from the quotes he gives, I feel like he doesn't really care about winning. He said that his goal is to get a second contract in the NBA. Yeah. That's really not what you want to hear, especially out of a number one pick.
You can think it, just don't say it, DeAndre.
Right, yeah. It's a fair thing to think, but it's to have that be the goal that you say. You know, you should be saying, like, want to win championships, I want to win MVP awards, not I want to be, like, a Trey Burke type, who just, like, stays in the league a couple years.
Yeah, well, he wants that second contract. Who knows? I think that DeAndre Ayton, I kind of like that he's not media savvy at all, because so many of these rookies really are, and he just has no idea what he's saying to the media and just gets himself in hot water. And draws the ire of Twitter. So I don't know. It's different from like Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks, where they say Alan Crabb's day to day, and then he misses like 12 games in a row. So maybe I don't know. I feel like his candor might be appreciated. Ben McLemore, I know you hate Ben McLemore. Why don't you tell us why?
There's not even really a specific reason. I think when I used to play NBA 2K more back in the day, I had a my player who was drafted to the Kings. This was a few years ago when Ben McLemore was on the Kings. And he was just terrible in 2K. Every time I would pass him in the corner, he'd be wide open. He'd brick a three. My teammate grade would not go up as high as it should have because I wouldn't get the assist. Mm. And then just from watching him play, he's not my kind of guy. I don't know. There's no real rhyme or reason to it.
Ben, if you're listening out there, I'm sorry about this.
I don't mean to embarrass you, Ben McLemore. But J.R. Smith was my number two. I think for him, just a matter of he wouldn't meet the NBA's dress code. He would not wear a shirt. There'd be times where you'd wonder where he was on the sideline. Perhaps he's just going to get a drink or go use the bathroom or something, but he wouldn't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. So we'd say, where's JR? We need a timeout. We need him to drop a play. And he's just off talking to the mascot or something.
I feel like, is he the player that's most likely to fill everyone's water bottle with Henny?
100%.
Yeah,
they'd probably dump like a Gatorade cooler full of it on him if they ever won a title.
Yeah, I feel like J.R. Smith. I feel like this this idea was born out of J.R. Smith. He's the low hanging fruit there. I didn't have him on my list, but I'm glad you did, so we could talk about him. And then number one, Hassan Whiteside. He of the very large contract, the great Snapchat videos. And is he even the best center on his team?
I don't think so. I'm Team Bam all the way. And this idea just came into my mind. This might be a hot take, but is DeAndre Ayton Hassan Whiteside 2.0? My column.
Is DeAndre Ayton Hassan Whiteside 2.0?
Yeah.
Interesting. I think maybe DeAndre Ayton's like a more fully formed version, because like Hassan Whiteside went to, where did he even, Marshall or one of those really small schools, fell out of the kind of out of the league for a little, went to Liberia or one of those places, and then came back, had his renaissance, big contract. DeAndre Ayton went to Kansas, number one overall pick, kind of a yin and yang parent trap type deal there, but definitely see their similar skill sets, very physically imposing, very athletic. So yeah, I could see it there. I could see some similarities in their games.
I'm just saying, you know, Hassan Whiteside, part of this is just that I have Bam Adebayo on my fantasy team, and I would like him to be moved. Hassan Whiteside, please leave the Heat. Thank you.
Yep. And for more fantasy info, please listen to Locked On Fantasy with our boy Josh Lloyd at @RedRock_Bball. I asked him the other day, should I drop Dragic? And he said yes. So I picked up, who did I pick up? I guess Tyler Johnson, which became Satoransky. But that is enough fantasy basketball talk. My team is amazing. I think I'm better than Marcus in this league we have.
I'm 7-3-1 right now. I'm good. I just beat Joaquin.
Okay, yeah. Shout out to our friend Joaquin. I'm 8-3. So that's it. I know that people hate hearing about other people's fantasy teams, but you guys will just have to deal with it. We ran long here today, but hope you guys enjoyed some of the more light topics we talked about on Locked On Nets. You know, not every game can be discussing whether D'Angelo Russell is worth his contract, or when is Alan Crabb going to come back. We have to mix it up a little bit. Keep it fun and fresh for you guys, and hope you enjoy today's podcast. Marcus, anything else before I sign us off?
No, I think that's it. Looking forward to a great new year, and I'm excited to go to brunch.
Absolutely. Let's get to brunch, everyone. You can follow us at Locked On Nets. Please subscribe to us, rate and review in the iTunes store. We love it, hearing your feedback. Again, tweet at us or just want to hear your thoughts on how the podcast has been going. I can be followed at @JMBass_. Marcus is at @MarcusBarahal. Until then, we will see you.
Bye.